Today, Pastor Greg Sausicioli, the founding president of Ministry Coaching International, will focus on building a balanced life.
Today's focus is on building a balanced life. Can it really happen? Or is it really just a fantasy, a dream that will never be realized? Well, that depends on your definition of balance and your technique to acquire it. Let's first define balance. Balance is a state of equilibrium, a state of rest between two opposing forces. Let me say that one more time. Balance is a state of equilibrium, a state of rest between two opposing forces. In our discussion today, we're going to discover how to balance the opposing forces of our personal and our professional life. Have you noticed that they do battle with each other? Work grows and grows, and it grabs more of our personal time, and our life just seems to be diminished. We work longer and longer hours, and we finally get burned out. We take time off to restore our personal life, and when we return to the work, our work says, "Welcome back. You're mine. I've got 2,000 emails for you. Let's get started. Get in your office." And that cycle seems to start all over again. A person of balance, as we're going to describe today, is able to build strength in their personal life and transfer it to their work. To achieve that, I found that balance requires proper technique and practice. And honestly, it's an art that has to be mastered. One of the things that I love at this time of year is to be in the snow. I love to be up in the snow. We happen to live in the Cascade Mountains. It's a beautiful place where we're able to go up and be in the snow within 30, 45 minutes. And I just love being out there away from everything in these beautiful Cascade Mountains. I just seem to hear God better. My thoughts seem to calm down. I'm able to really gather some strength from that time. One of the things that I love when I'm up in the snow is to skate ski. I don't know if you know what skate skiing is. In the Olympics, it's called freestyle. And if you watch that, you'll be watching people do freestyle. It's really rollerblading on the snow. It's on these long skis that are only an inch and a half wide, and they're very stiff. And when you put weight on them, they actually move. They actually move forward. The secret to skate skiing is that you've got to learn how to transfer your weight from your right leg. If you've got weight on your right leg, you've got to put all the weight on your body on that very small balance point of only an inch and a half wide, and then the ski goes forward and you advance. And then you, in a rhythm, you transfer from the right leg to the left, and you transfer that weight and you balance again on your left leg, and then you move farther forward. And you're transferring from left to right, right to left. It's a transfer of energy and power. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about learning how to, in a state of equilibrium, to be able to transfer energy from personal life to professional life and then back again, to be able to be in that place of rest between those two powerful opposing forces. Well, some of you are saying, "Greg, you know, that sounds really super cool. I mean, I would love to be balanced. I'd love to be in a state of rest between my personal and my professional life. But here's the million-dollar question, Professor. How do we do it? How do we get it done?" Well, first, I want to suggest to you that we've got to change the way that we think. Right now, in your left hand, I want to place a beautiful imaginary platinum life compass. This life compass will help you determine a new balanced life. Now, if you look on the dial of your life compass, north is your perspective. That's how you think. To the right, east is your purpose of what to be and do in your life. On the bottom, on south, is your personal and your professional priorities. Those are the most important things. And then west, to the left of you, that's your practices. That's the actions you take each day to achieve your priorities. Your life compass that you have in your hand contains your perspective, your purpose, your priorities, and practices that can help you successfully navigate your time. How do you navigate time? Well, you've got to be able to have this compass in your hand, in your heart, in your mind, your spirit, to be able to do that. How do you navigate and have intimate, fun relationships? How about your physical health or connection to Christ? How about navigating through your workload? Now, that would be a great compass, wouldn't it? Your finances, your own emotional health. To live in that place of rest between those two opposing forces of your personal and professional life, let's first look at our perspective, and let's check it against what God thinks. Let's see how well our perspective today lines up to God, what He thinks in His Word. Now, Jesus said, "I have come that you may have an abundant life." Have you ever asked yourself that question that Jesus answered in John 10:10? But the question is, what does God really want from me? What does He really want in my life? Well, Jesus answers it right there. He wants you to have an abundant life. That's why Jesus came and sacrificed. So the first thing in our perspective check is, do we understand that God wants us to have an abundant life? Let's look what else that Jesus said and look at God's perspective. Look at Matthew. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. God's telling us, hey, I want you to love me. I want you to have an abundant life, but I want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I want you to take care of yourself, to love yourself enough to be healthy and strong and vibrant. That's how I want my children to be. Let's do some more perspective check. Jesus said, "Remain in me, ask whatever you need, and it will be given to you because it's my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." John 15. So Jesus wants us to remain in a connected, intimate relationship with Him, and then we can ask what we need to do the things that He's called us to do. And also, isn't that really something that God wants us to win? He wants us to bear fruit. Wow, these are powerful perspective checks, aren't they? Do these line up with how you think about yourself and your life and God? Let's check out some of what Paul said. Paul said, "We are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ to express His character and through our unique personality, again showing the world His love." That's in Romans 8. Peter said, "Jesus has given us His divine power and called us to His glory and excellence." Now, that's a cool calling, isn't it? God has called us to His glory and excellence, and He's going to give us the power to do it, to achieve excellence, to operate from that position of strength in their life. Can you see how, as you see and understand these concepts, and as you make them part of your perspective, that your purpose, your priorities, and your practices get very, very clear? If you're a leader, look what Paul said. If you're a leader, be an example to the world in your speech and life and love and faith and impurity. You've heard me say this before if you've listened to me. This is my favorite section. God wants us to put out to the world a pattern of balanced living. That really is our job, leaders, to be that pathos, that example in 1 Timothy 4. That's what God's called us to be. Is that in your perspective today? Is that how you think and approach life? Paul also said, "Equip the saints for extensive work of ministry. Be a ministry coach, properly equipping the people around you to lead and give them the authority to lead so you don't get burned out." In Ephesians 4, God gave us a recipe for effective leadership development and for balance in our life. Now, that's a powerful perspective from God. Do you believe it today? You know, it appears to be doable to me. It appears that God would like us to be balanced and in a place of rest between the opposing forces in our life. If that's true, then why are so many spiritual leaders being lost or discouraged today? According to some sources, 1,500 pastors leave the ministry each month due to moral failure, spiritual burnout, or contention in their churches. 50% of pastors' marriages end in divorce. 80% of pastors feel unqualified or discouraged in their role. 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. 80% of pastors' spouses wish their spouses would change their careers. Why is that? I propose to you today that we need to invest more time in examining the way we think so that our perspective matches how God wants us to be. And so that we're able to build our lives to a place of balance, to that place of rest between those opposing forces that are all around us. I propose to you today as well that there are probably false paradigms, I know there was in my life, false paradigms embedded in my perspective that need to be prayerfully removed so that our life can reflect the truths in God's Word and we can have that abundant, balanced life that Jesus promised. That's why Proverbs says, guard your heart, your mind, and emotions, for from it flow the issues of life. You see, once we learn to think as God thinks, then we can move into defining our purpose, deciding our priorities, and practicing them so they become permanent in our life and leadership. Because of time, I want to discuss briefly what I believe to be the number one best practice to building and leading and living a balanced life. The number one best practice that I am learning, that I am teaching others, is the rhythm of rest and reflection. The rhythm of rest and reflection. In my own life and the lives of hundreds of people that I've coached, this is the most critically important priority in our lives. And it is also how we guard our heart. You see, we've got to learn how to create the right amount of rest and recovery so that we can bring to our work strength and so that our work does not also take away our life. Creating the right amount of reflection and solitude is also critical to our spiritual, mental, and emotional health. So we've got to learn how to rest so we can recover, and we've got to learn how to spend time in solitude and gift our time solitude, because the classroom of solitude has so many lessons to teach us in our life. So again, the question is, Greg, great concept, my friend. How do we do it? Well, here's the practices. Number one, consider your personal and professional responsibilities as two important opposing forces. It's time that we clarified our perspective and realize what we're up against. Yes, our personal and professional life are in opposition to one another. They both need dedicated time in our calendar, but we've got to realize and recognize that we've got to consider that they are in opposition. So therefore, here's what you've got to do. First, build into your calendar the critically important personal priorities, devotions, exercise, family time, vacations, and especially a time of weekly reflection. My Fridays are usually that time. I do four days in the office, and you've heard me talk about this before, but I just want to talk about it again because it's so vitally, critically important. That day of rest and reflection in my home office is actually probably the most important thing that I've ever done. Here's why. When I get up in the morning, I am not rushing off. I'm just getting up to focus and spend time with the Lord. I talk with Him. We talk together. I read His Word. I journal and write down the thoughts that I believe the Holy Spirit is giving me. And it's just a time to allow myself to really reflect on God, to align my perspective to the truths of Scripture. Then I go into a time of reviewing my life plan. That's when I check on my purposes. My purpose to be and do, are they concrete? Do I understand them? Are they back within my view so I can see them and pursue them? I check on my priorities and I look at my calendar and I look back at the week and I see, did I practice? Am I practicing are my priorities having presence in my calendar? Am I able to really practice them daily, day in and day out, so they become permanently fixed within my life and my leadership? I even look at the week ahead and sometimes several weeks ahead and even the months and the year. I have a yearly calendar that we've mapped out and I've gone over with Diana and with my team and others to check and see that we have the right rhythm also in the year. Ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you that if you will do this first best practice, you will see a dramatic change within your ability to have a balanced life. The second best practice is you've got to reeducate your spouse and children and coworkers to your new balanced living plan and ask for their support. We've got to re-educate those around us. If we don't do that, then we're not setting them or ourselves up for success, to support us, to cooperate with us, and even to encourage us. Number three is invite your coach or establish an accountability partner in your balanced living plan to challenge you to practice this plan until it becomes permanent. Practice doesn't make perfect, it makes permanent. So I encourage you to practice this plan once you develop it, and weekly be practicing it, sometimes daily. As we end our time together in this teaching, what I want to do is I want to read you a letter that illustrates the power of changing our perspective, our priorities, and practices. This is from one of our clients' spouse. The name of the client has been changed to John, just to, I think you understand. I really do want to thank you for coaching my husband, John. It really has altered our life and the way we live. John has always been very gifted and talented, full of potential. His giftedness led him in many directions, and he was a bit disorganized with his time. I've been there, haven't you? At times it was hard to keep up with him. He was always wanting to help someone and having ideas of grandeur about how all these wonderful endeavors would magically fit into his day. During his coaching, John decided in his heart that he was going to change this weakness into a strength. He has. Today I see a man that is completely organized and filled with confidence and direction for his life. You've helped him refine his time to focus only on the things that matter most. The most dramatic way this new thinking has changed our life is that I completely trust John now. I trust him with everything. I didn't realize what a big deal this actually was until I pondered it the other day. Previously, when we were living without specific daily direction, things would take up John's time that I thought was perhaps a waste of time. Now I know with certainty that if John's giving his time to something, it must be worthwhile. He isn't just taking on a time commitment without first thinking of his mission statement, his life plan. He considers his steps. I propose to you today, change your thinking and your purpose. Your priorities and your practices will bring you the results you want, and you will achieve that balanced life. Thank you.
Please contact Ministry Coaching International by calling 800-290-5172 or visiting their website at ministrycoaching.org.